Father, I thank you that it's every person's heart here that your will be done. Not just on this earth, but more importantly, in each and every one of us. Because if your will is done in each and every one of us, your will is done here on the earth. So Lord, just speak to us and encourage us as we look to your Holy Scriptures today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, we began to talk about, you know, missions essentially. But we looked at God's heart for missions. And if you remember, we looked at Luke chapter 15. And we talked about three different parables, which really I think were part of a bigger story. Now to give you the context, we had the Pharisees, Sadducees, religious people came to Jesus and said, look, why do you hang out with sinners? Why do you hang out with the have-nots, with the losers? I'm paraphrasing, but really that's what they were saying. You know, why don't you just hang out with us religious folk? And it says this, that Jesus then told this parable, and he links these three stories together, which I believe we're talking about the same thing. And if you remember the title last week, it was called Lost and Found. The idea is that mankind is lost and Jesus finds us, amen? And so we look at the first story, the first parable, and it's about a lost sheep. And as we looked at that, we realized that that sheep was more than lost, he was hurting. Because we know that when the shepherd finds that lost sheep, it says this, that he put the sheep on his shoulders and carried it home. Listen, if that sheep was mobile, if that sheep was able to walk, the minute that shepherd said, hey, that sheep would know his voice and just follow him home. He couldn't follow the shepherd home. That's why the shepherd had to put him on his shoulders. And Jesus was showing the religious people that day that there are some people that are so hurt, so bruised, so broken that they can't come to Jesus on their own. It would be like us sitting here in church and saying, well, look, if God's going to save them, they'll come to us. And Jesus was saying that's not for everybody. That sometimes we have to go out to help the lost. Go out and help the hurting because they can't come on their own. We need to help them. So that was the first group, the ones that are hurting. And then Jesus went on and talked about the woman, the young woman, remember, who had the lost coin. And so she went through her house, couldn't find it, and she's really beside herself because these 10 coins were very, very important. And most theologians believe that it was her dowry, meaning that this lady, young girl, wasn't married yet. And this represented her dowry, which she'd wear around her head. And the idea is that if you were a young guy looking for a bride, you'd see how much dowry, see how much money she's worth. Because if you take the girl, you get the money. That's the way it was back in that day. And she was missing one of these coins. So for her, she felt so lacking. Could you imagine, you know, having your headband on and missing one of the coins? And these young men are coming along and saying, oh man, you're not worth very much. You're lacking. And so what did she do? She went through her house and little lamp. Now when you look at scripture, all through scripture, when you see the word light or lamp or anything like that, it refers to Jesus. Isn't it interesting that she had to light a lamp to find what was lacking? Isn't it interesting that in our lives, that whatever is lacking will be found in the light of Jesus. And so that speaks of another group of people who are out there in the world who are lost, but they say or think or feel they're lacking. And I've spoken to many of them, and I go up to them and have opportunity to interact, and I share the Lord with them, and they don't reject Jesus. They're like, yes, I know I need Jesus. And when I get my life together, I'll come to church. In other words, when I get my lacking, when I fix my lacking, when I have my life kind of arranged and I think it's good enough for God, I'll come to God. And you know what I say to them? You're never going to come then. And they look down. In fact, some of them get downright angry with me. They're like, how dare you say? And I say, look, if you could get your life together before you come to Jesus, why do you need Jesus? The idea is come to Him and He will make your sufficiency. He will provide what is lacking in your life. And so Jesus, again, was just showing the Pharisees and Sadducees that even when there's lack, that He wants to come and help those who are lacking. And then the final of the trilogy of stories is the lost son. And so we see this lost son, he's with the father. You get the idea that he's in relationship with the father. And I believe it's a picture of believers who are walking with God. And how this young man says, look, I just want all my gifts. I just want to take whatever I've got from the Father, and I'm just going to go my own way. And the Father doesn't stop him. Lets him go. You know why He let him go? Because your Father in heaven will never force you to do something or never stop you from doing anything. He loves you so much that He has given you as part of the gift package to humanity, free will. And you might say, well, I want to give that gift back. But part of free will honors the Lord. Because when you freely come to Him and worship Him, it's been done because you're not under control or manipulation. And so there's always, you know, with anything powerful, there's always a negative side, right? Where you can freely choose to do wrong. In the case of this young man, he just went out and did his own thing. Now in his head, he thought he was okay. He thought he was fine. And he goes out, squanders everything the Father had given him. And as we know, he's in the pig pen, and the Word says this, he comes to himself. In other words, you know what he said? I'm going to paraphrase in modern language. I am an idiot. How stupid could I have been? Why did I do this? I'm paraphrasing all of that coming to himself, all right? But that's literally what he did. He said, I'm going back to Dad. You know, his servants are better off. And he turns around and heads back. And his father, from afar off, sees him. It's so awesome, right? Runs up, embraces him. He doesn't do the, if you do this again thing, or yeah, you can sleep with the servants, or none of that. I think it's a lesson maybe for us as parents and maybe grandparents. You know, when my kids have done something wrong, I usually like to give them that third degree. I think it wasn't to help them, it was to try to make me feel better. I wonder about that now. So now with my grandchildren, I have a different approach now. They do something wrong and they come to themselves and come and say, Grandpa, or Gramps, or Pops, you know, each one has their own little line. I did this or I did that. You know what I do now? I do the Bible thing. I just wrap my arms around them and say, thanks for coming and telling me. Let's go play. Because they've already punished themselves. In having to come back, they know they've done wrong. You know, maybe we need to look at the Bible in a lot of different ways and realize that needs to be our heart. Why should we be beating them up some more? You know, is that just to make us feel better? Yeah. Why'd you do that? You know, and listen, they've already punished themselves. Let's just love on them. Let them feel accepted, because that's what the Father did with this son. You know, unconditional acceptance. He came back. And so that person, so we had the ones that were hurting. We had the ones that were lacking. I call this third group the searchers. In other words, they were with God and for whatever reason backslide, feel that maybe it wasn't enough or feel like they're missing out in the world. And they just go and go out there and just sow their wild oats and do their thing. But eventually they come to the dead end of life, realizing that's not a good way to go. And they come back to the Father. But isn't it interesting that whether you're hurting or lacking or searching, that the response of the Lord is the same? Acceptance when they're found. And that needs to be our heart as well. And so all of us came from one of those three categories. All of us. And so I encourage you, when you're interacting with the world, to see those three categories. Not judge them for where they are, but love them for where they are. Amen? And so this week, you know, last week again, we talked about the heart of the Father. But now I want to transition, and the title of today is, Who? Me? You know, last week it was called Lost and Found, and it was kind of the heart of the Father. Now it's Who? Me? Our part in the gospel story. You might say, well, look, whoa, time out here. I don't want any part in this. Can I tell you that you have every part in it? Now, I told the first group, I said, look, if I was on the council of how God was going to evangelize the earth, let me tell you my advice, okay, to the Lord, all right? Now, I wasn't on that council, by the way, all right? But here would be my advice. Lord, you need to get, like, a bunch of angels and let them fly through the atmosphere and do, like, giant sky riding. You know what I'm saying? So that no one could miss the message from heaven. You know what I'm saying? Can I tell you that using people for evangelism wouldn't have been on my list even? Do you know why? We usually don't do what we're told. You know what I'm talking about. Come on now. You know, how good are we at following directions? In fact, let me just back. I don't want to accuse anyone. I am not good at following directions. You can ask my wife. If she asked me to do more than three things in a row, I'm toast. I'll forget. I know. So here's what I do all the time now. I say, honey, write it down. So now I have these lists that she gives me. And I'm pretty good at lists. I can do that. But the point is, we are not always the most reliable individuals to do what we're told to do. But angels, they just do what they're told. So Tom, what do you think? Angels do a good job, right? But God has chosen to use His chosen ones, His ones that have accepted Him into their lives, to share the love of Jesus. Now, this is not a new thing. Let's talk about this. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, in fact, let's jump down. I want to jump down to Psalms 96. Let's not do 1 Timothy. Let's go to Psalms 96, verse 2. It says this, sing to the Lord, bless His name, proclaim the good news of His salvation. from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. So here it is in Psalms, David, Old Testament, some 4,000 plus years ago. David is talking about good news. Now I want to tell you, that's what the gospel is. The gospel is good news. You know, I'm always so saddened when I go to Toronto or to New York City and I see these guys on street corners and they got these big posters. The end is near. You know what I'm saying? Turn or burn. You know, this kind of thing. And I'm like, well, just a minute here. Wouldn't it be better to say, instead of saying the end is near, how about this? Jesus is near. Isn't that a positive spin on it? You know, yeah, the end is near, but can I tell you, Jesus is nearer? In other words, let's talk about the good news. Because that's what this Bible says, and your Bible too. It says that the message of salvation is good news. In fact, the word gospel means good news. Now, is there a hell? Yes, there is. All right? You know, is there a tremendous punishment for those who end up in hell? Yes, there is. But can I tell you something? It's better to share the good news. Listen, if I went up to Ford and Ford wasn't a believer, and I said, Ford, do you know you're going to hell? You know, how's that for a starter in, you know? I'm not sure that Ford would really want to hear much more of what I've got to say. Here's why, for a couple of reasons. If Ford's not right with God, he already knows he's not right with God. So he doesn't need to be beat up more, you know what I'm saying? Here's what he needs to hear, that there's hope. Ford, do you know that God loves you? That sounds a little better, doesn't it? At least, whoa, you know, this, you know, yes, he is going to hell if he doesn't know Jesus. But can I tell you, he's already going there. So let's not beat him up about it. And you're not really, okay? You're going to heaven because you accepted Jesus. All right. But I'm using you as an example. So the point is, come to him with love, showing him that there's a God who's provided a plan, the gospel, the good news. Amen? And that's where you and I need to come to. Now, depending on our upbringing, our church doctrine, and all those things, we tend to focus on the negative or we tend to focus on the positive. I encourage you to focus on the good news because that's what the Bible says to do, all right? And so as we look, we have the Apostle Paul actually talks about the gospel. And I'm going to call this the gospel in a nutshell. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want you to see this because it can't be any clearer. If you didn't have the rest of your Bible, you could have these two verses and it'd be enough, all right? So the gospel in a nutshell, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 4. And here's what the Apostle Paul says. The gospel in a nutshell. Here's what he says. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So he died for our sins, was buried, and was resurrected again 3 days later. That is the good news. The good news is that someone else took your place in mine on the cross of Calvary, dying for our sins, so we don't have to suffer the penalty of it. That's as good as it gets, amen? Now here's the thing. You could go around and tell people this. Alright, you could say, look, I want to tell you what the Bible says. Apostle Paul says this in the Bible, and you could tell them this. But here's the thing. This is a skeleton. You got to put flesh on this thing. And here's what I mean by that. How were you changed? In other words, to take your story and make it a part of that. To say, look, you know, I was a sinner. You know, I wasn't right with God. I wouldn't even use the word sinner. You know why? That's Christianese. You know what I say? Christians, we have our own language. You know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. You know, we say all these things, but to the world, they're like, what language are they talking? You know what I'm saying? So don't use the word sin. You need to just say, I mess up a lot. All right? I make mistakes. I missed the mark. You know, however you want. I screwed up. You know, you word it however you want. But when you start talking in normal English, they get it. They're like, yeah, oh man, I've done my stuff too. You know, it doesn't take long for them to agree with you. But stay away from Christianese terms because they don't get it. In fact, I dare say that some of us Christians don't get it. You know, I remember we had a guest speaker and he was one of these theologian guys and he's using all these big words and I'm like, what? You know, literally, I'm like, really? You know, what? Not even taking the time to define the different terms. And let me tell you, it's useless if they don't understand what you're saying. Amen. So I've missed the mark. And then you go on to say, but look it, you know, someone was born sinless, never made any mistakes, and he chose to suffer in your place so you don't have to pay the price for what you did wrong. Cool. Do I know this guy? No, you don't know him. He knows you, but you don't know him yet. But I want to introduce you to him. And then you just share who he is. that it's Jesus, that He died on the cross. Again, you're putting flesh on it. Now, here's the thing. That's where you come in, your part. See, it's not just telling the story from the Bible. You need to make it personal. Because if you're sharing the gospel, there's a good chance that you know this person. They're a coworker. They're a friend. There's someone who's been in your life. And guess what? They've been watching you. And they're wondering about you because you're like different. Right? Now, different in a good way, okay? You better be anyways, all right? Different in a good way. And the point is that they've been watching you, and when you begin to share with them, all you're doing is really telling them what they thought was different about you. That you actually care for them. Can I tell you something? That no one cares about what you have to say until they know you care for them? Can I tell you that's the greatest tool we have as Christians, is to be caring and compassionate for those around us. It's not how to articulate words and how to say certain scriptures at the right time and how to have, you know, all your ducks in a row. Just that you care for them. I remember in my early days sharing the gospel with someone, and I really cared for this person, and I was flubbing over my words. I got the scriptures all wrong. It was an absolute mess. And at the end, I'm red-faced. I'm so embarrassed. I'm like, oh, God, I made a mess of that. And you know what that person said? I don't know really what you just said, but I know I need Jesus. I'm like, what? You know what I'm saying? In other words, the Holy Spirit is the agent to change. The Holy Spirit is one. All God's looking for is a willing person. Not a perfect person, not a person that's got it all together, but someone who will dare to just open their mouth and say as best they can. And believe me, it was an absolute mess. I don't even think I could have got saved by what I said. You get what I'm saying? But Jesus has a way of changing things and making it work. And that's how we need to go, is with a heart like that. Not worrying about all the little words and everything. Now, should we grow and come to a greater understanding? Absolutely. But God will use you right where you're at. Amen. Don't be like that woman with the lack and say, well, when I get it together, when I memorize these scriptures, then I'll share the gospel. You'll never memorize enough scriptures. You'll never practice enough. You just need to just do it. Amen. You just need to do it. Amen. And so what's our part in this? Okay, jump to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, beginning at verse 34. Jesus is speaking here. He just had this whole encounter with the woman at the well, and the disciples come back, and they're actually a little upset that he was talking to this woman. But he goes on, and here's what he says. John 4, beginning verse 34. This is Jesus speaking. Do not say there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. So here's Jesus making it very clear, saying, look, there's all kinds of different people. But before that, here's what he says. The fields are white for harvest. Well, what does that mean? Well, a wheat field, you know, from my farmer's background, a wheat field, when it turns from golden color to white, it means that the grains are completely ripe and dry. In fact, if they're white, it's actually almost too late. Because if a rain or a wind comes, the grains are going to get knocked out of the heads and fall to the ground and go to waste. And so he's saying it's over ready. The world is full of people that need to hear the good news. Amen. And so it's time. And then he goes and talks about people who are sowers and reapers and laborers. You know what he's saying? We all have different jobs. Not everyone's called to, you know, preach Jesus from a street corner. And not everyone's called to work in the background. We're all working in different places. And that's what Jesus was saying, that we all have a place in the body of Christ to share the good news. Now, I'm going to use an example of two people. I don't want to embarrass them. I already talked about them at the first service, so they didn't know about it. So now they are here. I'm going to talk about Steve and Vera Solage. Now, I've known these guys for years. They're a lovely couple. But they're different. They are so, so different. When you meet them, it's not like negative and positive like that, but just so different. You know, one is kind of a little shyer and you know, more little, you know, just that way. And the other one's more outspoken. And so let me just give you a little background to why I'm bringing them up, to show you how there could be such diversity, even with a couple. All right. So Vera and Steve are part of our food pantry. And so Vera, you know what she does? She is the evangelist. In other words, if someone is unsaved, they will get saved if they get near Vera, all right? Here, she is not afraid. She's one of those kind of people that will walk up to you on the street and say, do you know Jesus? Now, here's the thing. You won't get offended because that's your gift. In other words, that's what God has put in her. She has that gift. And so when someone is unsaved and she's taking them around to get food, listen, they're going to get saved. Or they're going to know what they need to do to be saved. You know, obviously you can't force anyone. But the point is, that is her gift. All right, God bless her. Now Steve, on the other hand, let me tell you, Steve loves Jesus just as much as Vera does. Just as much. In fact, when I talked to him and he shared different times his story with me of life, man, he's crying because of Jesus, how Jesus has touched him. He is absolutely head over heels in love with Jesus. But it's not his thing to just walk up to somebody and say, do you know Jesus? Now, he'll share Jesus. I can tell you this because I know he's done this. He's had friends and relatives where he has talked to them. But it's not his gift. In other words, it's not his primary thing. You know what Steve does? He does the thing from the book of James. The book of James talks about sharing the gospel through, you know, warm blankets, through the natural. So Steve, what he does in the wintertime, he provides this awesome soup to everybody at the food pantry. Workers included. Now, it's not even soup. It's stew. It's this Hungarian mixture. In fact, it's different. I ask him what it is, every time he really can't describe it because it's different. It's like this ongoing, changing, evolving awesomeness. And so you're really not sure what you're going to get till you take a bite. And it's like, oh, that's awesome. We've actually had people go through the food pantry and they come to us at the table. And here's what they say. I'm really not here for the food. I came for the soup. That's what they say. That's how awesome it is. And so what is Steve doing? He's loving people with the love of Jesus through soup. And you might say, well, oh, that's not the same. It is every bit the same. Every bit is important. In fact, if you don't have that part, you can't have the other part. If we didn't have people working behind the scenes at our food pantry, people couldn't come. So Vera people, like Vera, could share the love of Jesus. You see, everybody has to work together. And so it doesn't make anyone less important or more important. Just everyone working together for the advancement of the gospel. And so we need to, as believers, begin to see that. So here's the problem, though. If you're an evangelist kind of person, you think everyone else needs to be an evangelist. All right? It's just the way it is. It's because it's just burning in you. It's like, if you're not sharing, what is wrong with you? But then if you have the person working behind the scenes, it's like, well, why aren't you helping me? You see what I'm saying? In other words, everyone thinks their gift is most important, and it is most important to you. Be careful you don't try to put that on other people, but rather encourage them to flow in the gift God's called them to. But regardless of that, and let me close with this scripture. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. They're going to put it up. Jesus is saying this, and he said to them, to all the disciples, all of us, whether we're in the soup kitchen or whether we're out front, he said this, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you might say, well, hold it, then that's really talking about, you know, like people like Vera, you know, to go out and speak it. That's really not what this is saying, and I want you to understand this. First of all, that word go, you know, we get the idea when we read that word go, it means get on an airplane, get in a car, get on a boat. The idea is traveling to a foreign land somewhere. And it can mean that, but this word go means as you go in the original language. In other words, as you are at work, as you are at school, as you are with family. The idea is as you are going about life. That's what that scripture is saying. Doesn't mean you have to go somewhere to be a witness, all right? It's as you're going about life. And then it says go into all the world. That just means all your known places, all your spheres of influence. Every single one of you have people that I will never see probably or never be able to have a conversation with. In other words, you have your circle of people that you know. Have you shared Jesus with? Does every single person that's part of your area of influence, do they know that you are a Christian and love Jesus? I'm not saying this to condemn anyone, but rather to say, how important is this to you? Because you need to realize that if they don't know Jesus, they're not going to heaven. And they need to hear about God's love. So just food for thought to say, Lord, how can I touch them? And again, it could be, listen, if you're not real good with articulating words, do you know the emails? That's okay. You can send an email to your friend. Say, look, you know, I just want to take a minute and just share something that's happened in my life. And again, you don't have to write a book. You want to write a book? Okay. You know, if your friends like reading books. But the point is just send them a little note. And if they respond, great. If they don't, they've still heard the truth. Amen? Our job is to be what? The messengers. It's the Holy Spirit that saves. It's the Holy Spirit that changes us. So it goes on, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Listen to me. If necessary, use words. In other words, that word preach doesn't necessarily mean use words. I think, again, back to Steve. He's providing soup. What's he doing? He's preaching the gospel through an act of love. And I encourage you, whatever God is asking you to do, to preach, to do so. All right? We're all in different places. But just do what you're called to do. To go. To go and to do to every creature. And I love that. The idea is, rich or poor, whatever color of skin, whatever culture, in that God loves humans. Amen? There's only one kind of human, humans. That's it, all right? And that God loves all of them, whether they know Him or not. In fact, there's only two groups, right? Those that are saved, those that aren't. But God loves each group exactly the same. Amen? Father, I thank You. I thank You for every single person here. And Lord, we're essentially dealing with believers here. But Lord God, if there's someone here that hasn't accepted You as Lord and Savior, they've heard what the good news is. They've heard that You love everyone and that all we have to do is say yes and we're accepted. That we are lacking nothing if we accept Jesus. That's all we have to do. And that whatever hurts might be in our lives, that Lord God, You will restore. That You came for the hurting. And Lord, if we're searching, all of the answers are found in Christ Jesus. Lord God, it's all there. It's all You. And so, Lord, I pray for any searchers or hurting people or lacking people here at this very moment in this room, that You would bring them to the foot of the cross, bring them to that crossroads of life, that all they have to do is look up to You and say, Jesus, I need You. And You become real to them. I thank You for that. At this point, I'm going to ask Rose and Roberto to come up. They are going to the mission field. Amen? So I thought it was appropriate for them to take a few minutes. Now, Robert, I'm going to ask you to share first. Rose is going to be the cleanup. All right? There we go. Amen.
Thank God. Wow. You know, it's amazing when you make up your mind, when you come to that place, you make the decision to allow God to use you, what He can do. You know, earlier we saw the word as Pastor Carl was talking, who me, and I am one of those who me. I never thought that God can use a guy like me. Because all of my childhood, I've been growing up hearing people saying, well, you never amount to anything, you know. And I believe that because the world only appreciates people with talents, you know. If you were growing up, you were a child, you know, you weren't bringing the A report card home, you're not allowed on the table, you know. There are certain privileges you weren't at the table place. You know, I remember in Haiti, every Christmas was a painful time for me because when you receive your report card and that's the time your parents choose to give you any kind of beautiful gifts there is, and I was never part of that because my grade wasn't up to par. You know, so even after I become a Christian, my place was always in the back of the church. You know, I come to church and I sit in the back because it was people with a head full of goals who know what they are talking about. But little by little, I see God just bring me from the back of the church to the middle of the church to the front of the church, you know. When I come to the Lord in 1987 at Rose's dad church, and I gave God my life. I said, Lord, if You take what left of me, you know, no matter what it is, wherever You send me, I will go. And right there where Barbara is sitting, after Pastor Vic came back from a trip to South America, and he was saying that in a few more months I'm going to Republic Dominican. And I said, wow. I said, Lord, if he's going to DR, I know he's not too far from going to Haiti. And when that time comes, my ticket is already purchased. And that's exactly what happened. And since then, you know, it's like a roller coaster. You know, God is using us. You know, never think you're not qualified enough for God to use you. You know, I may think that about you. Somebody else may think that about you. But God, that's not how He sees you. You know, when God sees you, He sees Christ in you. And that's how He sees us. And this is how we need to see other people around us. You see Christ in them, you know. I remember I heard a young man was giving a testimony about a preacher in his church. And after Sunday morning, the preacher gave a testimony about his own life, where God took him. And you have people in the congregation, and as the young man was testifying about his reaction to the testimony, you know, he said to himself, how can this guy appear to be a high holy coaster, you know, holy this, holy that, and then this is the kind of life he was living. You know, sometimes people bring the testimony is where God took them and how God is changing their life. So he went and messed up his own life because of that testimony. And then expecting God to come back and clean him up. You know, God doesn't work that way. You know, He doesn't work that way. He's changing us to becoming light. It's to change somebody else's life. You know, I appreciate this church for what God is doing and here, for what He's doing in my life and each other's life. Because of your gift, of your donation, every year we're going back to Haiti. You know, I can't explain it, but it's a miracle after miracle. You know, I thank God for Pastor Vic. I thank God for Pastor Carl. You know, I feel like the team Pastor Carl been preaching all summer here, living the dream. And I can tell you, I am living my dream as a Christian, and I give God all the glory. You need to see your future starting right here with Jesus, because I know the end is going to be beautiful.
Our vision for our ministry is reach out to the lost, and that fit, you know, into our church. And we choose a logo which is touching lives around the world. And this is what, you know, God has been doing through us. And why me? The message fit this morning with the testimony. I never wanted to do something like that. I was very happy just sitting behind Michelle, where she's sitting. And, this was what I thought that was going to be my life, because I was happy with that. I didn't want to be, to expand myself. I didn't want to be uncomfortable going to places that I'm not comfortable with, doing things that I have to, that I really have to trust upon the Lord, because I can't do it myself. But God has changed my life because I made that step, because I made that decision. And He let me know that it wasn't me who was going to do the work, but it was the Holy Spirit through us that's doing the work. And we are so grateful for our church family, grateful for the support, financially with your prayer and so forth. This year we're going to two different locations in Haiti. We're leaving on August 12th, and we ask for your prayer. We have a team who's going with you, and I know that God is going to do mighty work. And we have great expectation, but we know that He's already prepared the ground that there for us. So when we land there, we know that the words that there will bring up fruit. And thank you so much. And that, as Robert already said, why us? We took that step of boldness. And whatever God is leading you, take that step. I'm a type of person, I'm a planner. I need to know everything from day one when we're going on vacation, what we're doing, everything. But this is a boldness, because I don't know everything when I step, you know, into the mission field. God, I have to lean upon Him. And that's why I encourage you to do wherever is God leading you. Just take that step of boldness and lean upon Him, and He will do great things in your life. Thank you, Pastor Paul.
Amen. You know, what did they do? They went. They heard the word go and went. But just as I said earlier, each one of us play a different role. Now, obviously, it's too late to sign up with their team that's going already. How many people have we got going? Five or six people are going. There's been a bit of a change for them this year. Most years, their in-country costs, they can actually take the money with them to pay for it when they get there. But the organization they're dealing with now, I think it's because they've had cancellations with other teams, and because they had time blocked out, other teams couldn't come. So it meant they lost money at this place. And so what they insist on now is that the money has to all be sent in advance of their trip. So I took, they don't know this, but I took the liberty of pulling their files. Harriet knows how much money's come in for each and every one of them, so I did a quick addition thing. And they need between $2,000 and $2,500. Now listen, between both services, you know, we got a couple hundred people. When you really do the math, that's like 10 bucks a person. Like, really? That's like nothing. In other words, here's my point. I know that by faith, we're going to receive more than enough money between first service and this service. In other words, I don't have any issue at all. And I already knew about this, so I already prepared. But if the usher would come forward, if you would like to sow into this, listen, you would be doing an important part. Listen to me. Just as important as the people who are boots on the ground. Because they can't go unless they're sent. And so we're a sending church, so I'd really like to see us provide just that extra over the hump, so to speak, to cover them, so it's not something they have to even worry about. The next week I'll just call them and say it's all looked after. Amen. Wouldn't that be good? Will you agree with me on that? Amen. Amen. So if you need an offering envelope, if you put up your hand. We have people in the back, in the front. Just okay. A couple hands over there. Any other hands? Some hands in the back corner. Barbara, look way back in the corner there. And obviously, you may not be prepared to give today. Listen, you can do it online through PayPal, through the church website. Just in the memo, put Haiti. If you send a check in the memo, just put Haiti. However you want to do it, just make sure you put Haiti, and every penny will go towards them. Amen? Everyone ready to give? Oh, we got one person saying no. All right, you know how to spell thousand, right? Okay. I know it takes a little longer to write those big numbers. It's okay. We will wait. All right, we're ready now. Let's all stand together and pray, and we'll receive the offering and close out the meeting. Lord, I'm just so grateful for you being here, Lord God. You are everything. You mean everything. In fact, we exist because of you. And so, Lord, I pray that these finances for Haiti, that they're more than enough. That, Lord, I'm waiting for the day that we receive an offering and I have to send out a memo, an email to tell people stop giving, it's too much. I'm looking forward to that day, Lord God. But until that, I thank you that every need is met according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So I thank you that the Haiti mission teams, that everything, every need will be met for them. So we speak a blessing upon them. And Lord, I lift up this congregation. Bless them, Lord, as they go out into their sphere of influences, Lord God, to their local mission fields, Lord. And Lord, when you prompt them, when they feel that little prompt on the inside, that they will take that moment and say, Lord, I'll take the step of faith. And Lord, just show them what to do. And as they take those steps, that you'll be with them through the entire process. I just thank you. Bless everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Obviously, if you need prayer for anything, would love to pray with you. Have a blessed weekend.